This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06, and our first story, as mentioned, is actually about dressing for success. So the idea here is that, well, perhaps, even though some of us might work in more corporate spaces where there is a prescribed dress code, everybody Yep. wears office wear, if you deviate from that, or if you kind of start trying to show a bit more personality, it might actually go your way. It might actually showcase more power than following the dress code.
Yeah, so you can be seen as being more competent, having a higher social rank, and having more respect among your peers. But then it comes with a lot of caveats. It depends on your race. It depends on your gender, your seniority, and even your class level in that sense, because if, let's say, you do have more social capital, you are able to, well, take that risk of looking unique at the workplace.
Well, that point about social capital is interesting because it was brought up by one of the researchers in the article and essentially said that here you need to have enough social capital to spend so that even if you fail, so yeah. even if you wear something kind of by your office standards bonkers and people are like, what is going on? You still have the social capital to be like, nope. You know, you still respect me. I know you do. And I'm going to swan off. And not everybody has that, right? So sometimes I guess it's a way of pushing boundaries and testing things. I wonder if people are actually using this in such a strategic fashion, though. You know, whether people are actually consciously making the effort of the office says to wear heels. I, on the other hand, shall wear sneakers.
Then again, you know, maybe it's not in that case, right? Maybe what they're doing is say, okay, I'm just going to wear this one specific color every day. Then that color will be remembered as one that matches me and me only. And then that way you build your own personal brand. So if you can't necessarily break the dress code, say, if you're in a banking industry, you can't be wearing a t-shirt and sneakers, unfortunately.
At least not on casual Fridays.
No.
Not on days that aren't. Yeah.
Not even on casual Fridays. True. If you work in Bank Negara or something, you're still expected to kind of wear a polo shirt and not a t-shirt. Something with a collar.
at the very least, yes. So we are talking then about this. I wonder whether this applies more to offices that do have dress codes. I mean, we don't work in one exactly. Our yeah. unofficial dress code is smart casual, more or less, but that varies. You do occasionally see sometimes a daring short display, meaning people wear shorts, not short skirts, but people actually wear shorts to work occasionally, very rare. But I don't know whether we are the best people to talk about dress codes in that sense because we don't have one.
Though, norm breaking here would be if you wore a suit to the office every day, something really formal.
Man, people wouldn't speak to you.
You would be surprised. You might actually gain more social capital from that.
According to the research, that's what it seems to suggest. So, yeah, that's our question for you. Is there a dress code in your workplace and is there value in breaking it? When you dress for work, for that matter, what do you think about? What do you consider? Call us and let us know at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Emma Chong, former managing editor at Elle Malaysia, also a regular on our show, Style File. Emma, thanks for joining us. Let's start with how you approach dressing for work. Are you someone who adheres to dress codes?
I think often dress codes are there for a reason. And I think that reason is kind of creating this atmosphere of mutual respect amongst colleagues or clients. So I think, you know, in a sense, dress codes are important. A lot of them are outdated, but there's always some kind of principle behind them. So my approach to dressing for work is really kind of balancing that, balancing my personal style and then trying not to offend anyone with what I'm wearing. You know? I mean, not that I offend people on a regular basis, but just, you know, trying to keep it mutually respectful and comfortable.
How do you perceive non-conformity to dress codes at work?
I think that I think especially here in Malaysia or in like an Asian culture, it often comes across as you're putting yourself before the collective, right? Which is a big thing in Asian cultures. You know, looking after the community, looking after like the collective rather than putting yourself first. So I think, you know, if I can say this, I think it does sometimes look a bit like a dick move. Sorry, can I say that?
You've said it.
But, you know, it depends, really. I think if it's reflective of... It's one of those things that it has to come from a place of authenticity, I think, in that if you're purposely going out of your way to look really outlandish and that's not... only to stand out, and that's not something that you would normally do, and you're just doing it for the sake of getting attention, then I think people will quite instinctively understand that there's something weird going on, and there will be some level of distrust, even if they don't understand exactly what it is that's causing this distrust. So I think kind of trying to stand out just for the sake of it is a bit weird in the office.
So how then would you do it right? Because like we said, in our office, which you've been in before, so you would see it, we don't exactly have a dress code. Everybody's just sort of dressing to their own desires. So if you were in perhaps a more traditional setting, a more conventional setting, how could you not conform but also not come off looking just inauthentic and unappealing?
I think it's probably down to smaller details. And also, I mean, one of the things that I guess if you are kind of committed to non-conforming, you should start with the thin end of the wedge. So start with, like, I don't know, your socks, like accessories, your tie, maybe a pocket square. I mean, sorry, I'm thinking very much in terms of people wearing suits, because that's, I guess, probably the leading example of a dress code, like quite a corporate idea. So yeah, starting with small things. So mentioned before in the show, like starting with a color, picking a color is probably a good idea. You're like, this is my color. Just little kind of accessories. Even things that you notice but no one else knows, it probably will give you some kind of inner satisfaction. Your socks is probably a good way to start.
So the study in the UK says that those whose dressing deviates from convention are perceived as having higher rank and ability. Why do you think this is the case?
And also, for that matter, is this accurate here in our country?
I think it's quite a gendered thing, and also quite a classist thing, because it kind of suggests that, like, if you flout the dress code rules, they fire you, you're fine, you got money, you don't need the job, which is a very kind of hierarchical way of looking at things. And it suggests also that, you know, men, particularly white men of a certain social status, will be able to get away with this kind of thing and will be perceived as having more power. So I think that's one way of looking at it. I don't know if it would stand true here. I think that you would be looked on more as like a troublemaker, or just kind of obviously a rebel, but not necessarily in a good way. So I don't think it translates exactly to Malaysia, but obviously there's a huge variety of different company cultures, and especially maybe in some of the newer companies with a younger working demographic, it could be the same case.
Now let's travel to the other side of the coin, right? Because we've been talking about more conventional spaces, but in organizations where creativity or individuality is something that's very deeply prized, can the pressure to be non-conforming actually be a deterrent or create some sort of reverse effect of, if you conform, then suddenly you're not conforming?
Yeah, I think you see that quite a lot in fashion, in that, you know, everyone's kind of encouraged to do their own thing, have a personal style, but there is always some kind of ruling trend or style of the day. And then, you know, so you can do your own thing, but if you don't have that particular Gucci bag or whatever, then you're not really doing your own thing the right way. But I think in terms of in the fashion industry, you see that manifesting itself in things like when there was that normcore movement, which is where people were dressing like dads, but people still dress like dads. Things like dad sneakers being really big now, I think the whole challenge to conform / non-conform just kind of gets really confused, and then something that seems counterculture then suddenly becomes mainstream and the other way around.
So we've come a very long way from suits, ties and pantsuits at the workplace. Do you think we'll ever reach a point where more casual and comfortable clothing will be the norm?
I hope so, because I think dress codes in general are a bit outdated. And I think we are seeing that more and more adopted in the workplace. I don't think, but on the other hand, I do also think that there should be a distinction between what you wear to work and what you wear at home. And then obviously I think it will take longer for it to reach industries like segments like, you know, lawyers and doctors and things like that, where however unfair it may seem, you do trust a well-dressed lawyer more than you would a scruffy one, right? Or, you know, there's a sense that they must be more trustworthy. So I think eventually there will be kind of a more kind of democratization of workplace dress codes. But I don't know if it's going to happen in like the next 10 years even. I think it will take a long time.
And lastly, Emma, just to deviate slightly, I suppose we've been talking, I mean, non-conformity, but also personal expression, right? That's kind of what we've been circling. What do you make of people like, for example, Steve Jobs or even former President Barack Obama, who essentially said they didn't have an official dress code as such, but essentially said we're going to remove the trouble or the extra burden of choosing what to wear in the morning and just sticking to a uniform? Is there value in having a dress code in that sense so that you don't need to think about it, you just kind of adhere?
I think, yeah, that was actually really interesting. It was like, it was one less decision for them to make in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think if you're setting that for yourself, then that's great. And I think, yeah, there's definitely a value in that. And then that you always know what you're wearing. But it's also, again, like quite a gendered thing. Like, no one notices if Barack Obama wears the same suit every day, whereas if Michelle Obama did the same thing, you know, it would be a big deal. I think it would be great if people could set their own personal uniforms. But whether people will actually accept it or not, I don't know. But it is definitely a very interesting point.
Emma, thank you so much for those insights.
Okay, thank you for having me on the show.
That was Emma Chong Johnston, former managing editor at Elle Malaysia, speaking to us about the value of non-conformity in the workplace. So we want to hear from you when it comes to dress codes, whether official or unofficial in a workplace. A new study suggests that, or a new article from the BBC suggests that if you were to break free from it, it might actually signify more power, get you more attention. Do you agree with that? Does your office have a dress code? Talk to us about how you get dressed in the morning for work. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to read those messages. It's the evening edition. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about dress codes. And more specifically, the fact that if you choose not to conform to a dress code in a workplace, according to an article in the BBC, it might confer you more power, more social capital. It might just give you more attention. And so we've been asking you for your thoughts. Is there a dress code in your office? Do you follow it? 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a message here from Ikwan who says, as a graphic artist at a leading English newspaper, I'm glad that my department's dress code is smart casual. And I'm glad that then we can show off all our latest sneakers every day and also any latest graphic tees. And it's cool when I can wear Stormtrooper helmets on It's cool when I can wear a Stormtrooper helmet on Star Wars Day to the office, and it affects my creativity. The more creative my attire, the more creative my work.
You know, when it comes to this, I always remember this advice from 10 Friends of Kura, which is essentially dress how it would make you feel good about yourself. And if that's how it works for him, if it ups his creativity, that's great. You know, for days where you don't feel so good, your clothes can really be the one that just, you know, make sure that throughout the day, at least you have something to look at and look forward to.
There's that old advice, right? Dress not for the job you have, but for the job you want. Have you not heard that?
I have.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much it holds water necessarily.
Today. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not sure if that is. But again, bearing in mind, we work in a smart casual workplace. Mm. So I don't know whether if you were working in a different space, whether that would change if you're working in a more official space. The article also noted that if you're a younger employee, if you're a newer hire, you are more inclined to conform because you don't want to be noticed, yes, or you don't want to get in trouble, basically.
Because that is the topic of social capital, that if you, the more you have of it, the more risks you can take. So if, let's say, you are an intern, a new hire, you kind of don't want to be seen standing out so quick.
To be honest, the way I dress for work is important to me, in that it does affect how I feel for the day. It does affect, my level of comfort. Increasingly, I dress for comfort, but I also dress to feel good or to feel like the fullest expression of myself. So my clothes are important to me in that sense. And if I feel good, then I do my work better. I don't know whether that's the case for everybody. I'm not sure at all. Does it affect you in the same way?
It's day-to-day dependent. Some days, if I feel like flexing, I will wear better clothes. But most days, because it is an exercise of willpower, and that's why the likes of Mark Zuckerberg and Barack Obama have just removed that decision-making for them. Because willpower is a muscle. The more you use it, the more stronger it gets, but also the more tired you get.
I see the benefits in the uniform, but it would render me joyless. Mm. Yeah, so that's just me. Let us know what you think when it comes to dressing for work. What motivates you in terms of how you dress? Does the dress code matter to you? 7733 2900 is that number to call and chat. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
So we've been speaking about a few things this hour. Much earlier, it was about dress codes and dressing for work and really how we think about it, because I'm curious. I guess we've established that in this office, it's a bit fast and loose.
It's a free-for-all.
It is.
Almost free-for-all.
And in that free-for-all, I personally find a lot of room for self-expression and also for comfort. We also received a message regarding dressing up from a listener who says, dressing up to work is important because you pretty much represent the company when you're meeting clients and partners. Also, if you're in higher management, therefore the more you need to be presentable. I'm working in a fashion company and you'll be surprised how casual some people dress up to work, like flip-flops and shorts. Those people will not have much career progression because besides being capable, you need to carry yourself well.
I'm actually a bit surprised that this is coming from someone working in the fashion industry, because the impression is that in the fashion industry, you would have more room and more leeway to play with the kinds of clothes that you wear. So maybe you don't best dress when you come into work, but outside of it, when you attend events, it's a bombshell kind of clothes.
Yes, but I'm also wondering whether or not there is different levels of social capital. For example, wearing a Supreme shirt, it might just be a T-shirt. And to some people, it might look sloppy. And to others, they see the social capital of having, the brand, you know, and it expresses different things on different levels. So it depends. I'm not sure. We want to know, again, how do you get dressed for work? What goes through your mind when you're dressing for work? Does it matter to you about dress codes? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Meanwhile, Carla says, dressing up for work is important because it gives you confidence. And yes, I agree.
I agree also. Just on days where I don't feel the best, dressing up is the slight cure for that feeling.
We've been asking you, when you get dressed for work, how do you think about it? You know, what goes through your mind? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.